Top of the hour time brought to you by Centennial Bank. Proud to serve their community since 1916. Member FDIC.
The Victory, 93.7, WTKB Atwood Milan.
It would be the final Wednesday of the month of April. What does that mean? That means Dr. Tina Alacqua joining us this morning. Studio audience, by the way. Studio audience, Dr. Tina, that's right.
Well, I love the last Wednesday of every month. I so enjoy and look forward to these interviews that we get to do. It is a blessing as I look back. We started these in September of 2015. And I look at the number of different guests that we have had. It's been an incredible blessing and testimony to the Lord's goodness to us. Well, today we have a guest named Destiny that I am grateful that she has accepted my invitation to share. We're going to begin our time the way we always begin our time, Mr. Stevie Ray, and that is to help our listeners get to know our guest. Tell us about you, Destiny, and when you met Jesus.
I grew up, in the church. I found Jesus when I was 5 years old. My family and I, we got saved, and I grew up in the church. My life verse, through that was 1 Timothy 4:12, and, it says, do not, let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example to the believers in speech and conduct in love and faith and purity. And that's what I grew up with in my life, and I was able to serve in the church doing children's ministry and drama teams and dance teams throughout all of my childhood and into my teenage years. And after graduating high school, I was able to do a few short-term missions trips, which I loved doing. I was really blessed to be able to do that. And then in 07, I met Jacob, and we started dating in 2008, and we were married in the beginning of 2009. And here we are today, just blessed, for what the Lord is doing in our lives.
And you have a five-year-old.
Yes, I do. I have a five-year-old daughter named Radiance.
And so that is a perfect verse for her, too.
Yes. And it's one that I hope she'll grasp, as she grows up and, and sees the benefits in that for her.
Well, let me set the stage for our listeners. Destiny and I first began developing a friendship this past spring of 2017 when she was a member of the Hope Beyond Loss class at Fellowship Bible Church. I asked you, Destiny, to be interviewed today because you have modeled for me and many others how to walk victoriously with the Lord through the most difficult seasons of life, death. And we don't live long before we all experience death. Just last week, we received a call from my family on Tuesday, April 18th, that my mother-in-law, 94 years old, met Jesus face-to-face. And death is something we tend to fear the most. The rule in life is that we, as the parents, die first. My mother-in-law just met Jesus. But you, Destiny, and Jacob, and even Ray J, have experienced the loss of Ray J's brother and your son. And even with that most horrific loss, you, Destiny, have figured out the secret to walking victoriously with the Lord. So to encourage our listeners to walk victoriously with the Lord through these seasons, I've asked you to be interviewed. I believe the Lord, through you, can give voice to the secret, to how we as believers can survive and thrive through whatever loss comes our way. So listeners, I want you to think for a moment about the loss you desire to see the face of Jesus through. What is it, my beloved listeners, that you're struggling with right now and need a word from Jesus? An area that I've struggled with, and many in our Hope Beyond Loss group, is with this question that I'm about to ask you, Destiny. I've heard it time and again about people coming before the Lord and asking with a sincere humble and desperate heart, where were you, Lord, in the loss of my son? For our listeners, you fill in the blank. Ask the Lord with that sincere, humble, and desperate heart, where were you, Lord, in the loss of blank? Destiny, how has the Lord answered this question for you?
Throughout that entire week that Noah was missing, the Lord showed us then that he was very present. Everybody that was involved in the search for Noah, they were believers, and they were praying for us, and they were, there were people speaking scriptures to us, and while we were out in the woods, you know, people were out there praying for us, deputies and volunteers. And that was such a blessing for us, you know, that we weren't alone in that, you know. And on January 17th of 2016, it was Sunday morning. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and we had woken up after a couple hours of sleep while we were getting ready to go back out into the woods to look for Noah and try to find him. The house was quiet, which was really weird because everybody had been chaotic in the house, and the TV was on, and Charles Stanley came on the television. And the topic that he was speaking on in that moment was when you don't understand why. And Jacob and I just sat there, and tears were pouring down our faces, you know. And we were just like, Lord, this is for us right here, right now. And the scripture that he had used was Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And that was another way that the Lord had just showed us right then and there that he was in control. You know, I had taken the outcome that we were going to find Noah alive, and that's not what had happened. But God, you know, had showed us there and then that he was with us, you know, and we have received hundreds of letters from people all over the world sharing their stories, you know, of how the Lord had worked in their lives through the loss of our baby. And seeing all these and just what he's done, you know, has shown me, you know, that he's been there, and he's there, and he's walking with us. And that has been an encouragement for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. What I love is your sharing, Destiny, is how you knew without a doubt that you were not alone. As people tend to go through horrific circumstances, they often feel alone, and that's a lie from the enemy. And I pray that if there's any listener right now who is in that place, who feels like they're alone, that is not true. There are people that love you and care about you. You can call the station. Stevie Ray will pray for you. Look to the body of Christ. Look to your church members. Open up and share with them and ask them to pray for you. Just like Destiny shared, when she was out in the woods, people came from all over to share scripture, to pray out loud. And that is what I encourage our listeners, that when you know someone is going through something, take the time not only to say, I will pray for you, but take the time to actually stop and pray for them right then and there. I had a friend the other day that we were walking with. We tend to walk every Friday, and she was sharing some things that were going on in her life. And I just felt led by the Holy Spirit that lives in us as believers, that before we ended our walk, while we were doing the last lap, I said, can I just pray about what we've been talking about? And she said, yes. And then we finished it up sitting in the gazebo, and I ended the prayer. And she just had tears in her eyes when I opened mine and could see. And she said, Tina, I don't have anyone, any friend or family member that will pray with me. I pray that our listeners will reach out to others to pray for them, and that they, as born-again believers, will will feel courageous enough that the Spirit in them can pray out loud for those that are hurting, just like they did for you in the woods. And what a great testimony that is, that we really are not alone. There are people, Jesus, with skin on, here on earth, that want to walk with us through this journey. We are not alone, regardless of how that may, however we think we are, or we may feel we are. The truth is, we're not.
That's right, and it's such an encouragement, you know, as me being one who's experienced it, and how much it's appreciated when someone does do that.
Yes. Well, what is the secret? How have you been able to walk victoriously through loss?
Well, I actually, you know, discovered the secret when I was taking your class, the Hope Beyond Loss class, and the secret is being in God's Word and speaking His truth into yourself, into the in the midst of your trial. And I, like I said, I just recently figured this out myself. And prior to taking that class, you know, I struggled in my grief as to why Noah had to die. You know, that was my hardest question: is, Lord, why did this have to happen? And, you know, and I got caught up in thinking, you know, if I had only done this or if I'd only done that, Noah would still be here. You know, and that was a really dark time for me, in a dark place. And, you know, I had taken my eyes off of Jesus, you know, and I was looking at myself and I was making myself in charge of the whole situation. And in doing that, you know, I felt unworthy to be in His Word, and I wasn't in His Word. And it totally discredited God and His sovereignty and His character. And God's sovereignty, you know, we plan our, you know, in Proverbs 16:9 it says, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. That is God's sovereignty, you know. And in Psalms 139, in verse 16, it says, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. That is God's sovereignty. And in Isaiah 46, you know, it says, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all of my purpose. And those verses just declare God's sovereignty. And when I put it on myself, I took that away from God and it totally discredited Him and in His character. His character, you know, in 1 John 3, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. He's a God of love. You know, His character, that is a character trait of Him. And in Psalms 18:30, you know, it says that His way is perfect, His words are true, and He is a shield for all of those who take refuge in Him. You know, so He is perfect. You know, and He is true. And in 1 John 1:9, He's faithful to forgive us, and He's just in forgiving us and to cleanse us from our all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. You know, so, you know, not only is He a God of love, and He is perfect, and He is true, and He is a shield, He's faithful, and He forgives us. And His mercies never end. And it says that in Lamentations 3:22 through 23. You know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and how great is your faithfulness. And when I read those verses, I see, okay, Lord, you are God. You are God alone. There is none like you, you know. And when I was questioning that and putting it all on myself, I really felt that that I had taken away from the Lord. And I had to repent from that. And when I took the Hope Beyond Loss class, you know, my eyes were open to seeing it's God's Word. And I'm God's child. I'm called the child of God. He loves me. And in knowing those truths, you know, I've put God where He needs to be first in my life. And that is the secret, you know, to walking victoriously is being in His Word and speaking His truth.
That is so wonderful, particularly in today's day and age where there's so much education out there, so much access to knowledge and information, that it's easy for us to place ourselves on the throne. And if you said to us, well, do you think you're God? Of course we would say no. But then as we look at our life and the decisions that we make, how often do we take the time to seek God's face to make that decision? To ask, Heavenly Father, you are sovereign, you know all things, you see all things. What do you want me to do in this situation? But we go about our day and we often don't reach out to Him. We're not abiding in Christ moment by moment. We're not recognizing the sustaining grace that He gives us. So what you are describing, I think, describes our country so well, because we do place ourselves on the throne. And being able to go back to God's Word, specifically those precious scriptures that you have shared, identify the truth. They expose the lies. We're not God. He is. And when we don't understand, when we would have written the story and the outcome differently, we've got to just rest on the truth that He knows better than us. He is God. We're not. Take ourselves off the throne, put Him in that rightful place, and the peace that will come when we recognize His position as our Heavenly Father, as sovereign over all the earth, as Creator, and then our position as His beloved children. It makes life so much easier.
It does. Because it takes it off of our shoulders. It's not our responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. Well, in what ways have you and your life changed the most because of this loss?
Gosh, after thinking, you know, about it and focusing on it, you know, everything that I really enjoyed doing before Noah died, I find hard to do now. You know, I don't enjoy it as much. You know, I find myself, you know, I used to take pictures all the time. And, you know, that's something that I struggle with now, you know, like, oh, I don't even think about it half the time anymore, you know, and cooking and, you know, being creative and doing gardening, you know, in that grief, you know, I found over the past year that I really lack that motivation to want to do it. It's like a chore now, and it's, you know, I got to fight to do it half the time, you know. Yeah. And you're, you know, for me, my perspective on life has changed. You know, I used to be so, you know, earthly minded, you know, because my family was here. Well, now part of my family is in heaven, you know, and I really, you know, my heart wants to be there. You know, I don't want to be here on this earth anymore. I want to be in heaven, you know. And so that has changed, because before, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to be in heaven one day. But that's like years from now, you know. And now it's like, I just want to be there. I want to see Jesus. I want to see my baby. And so that has changed for me, you know. And then, you know, and then your emotions are just always haywire with, you know, with grief. You know, I'll be okay one minute, and then the next I'll start crying, you know. And it's amazing, you know, how our body, you know, how we are as humans, you know, just, we're so fickle in our emotions, you know, where we can be fine one minute, and the next minute we're just, you know, it's like, I can't do this right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, those are things that I've never experienced before in my life, you know. And it's been interesting trying to put all this, you know, through God's Word and having Him work in my life and trying to grieve well, because I've never experienced anything like this before. But the Lord is helping me, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is such a comfort to our listeners, because even the women that were in our group early on, that they weren't very far from their loss. Their loss was just a month ago or 3 months ago. And how they shared that it was just hard to get up out of bed every day. And it was hard to do those things that they so loved before. They just didn't have that desire or that motivation, like you said, to go forth and do it. I pray that our listeners will know that that is so normal. That is so normal. And in the time that God gives you when he calls you to go back and doing those things, really going back to doing them as a way to honor your loved ones that have gone on. So when you go back to gardening, you know, planting some things that, oh, Noah would have loved these flowers, or I could picture Noah picking these kinds of flowers and bringing them to me as a gift, and including that loved one in the midst of those things that you used to love doing, and now very normal not to feel like doing it, but when the Lord brings you back to doing it as a way to honor him. One of the women that I met in a grief group used to love making baskets, and after she lost her son in a tragic way, she stopped making baskets. And now what she does is she makes baskets to honor her son, and she deliberately gives them to families who have lost loved ones. That is her and her son, who is in heaven's ministry to these families.
That is neat. That is definitely something to do, for sure.
Well, you talked a little bit about this. In what ways has your relationship with the Lord changed because of this loss?
For me, and as I sat and I thought about it, for me, I've been able to see God's sovereignty in a way that I have never experienced before, and I don't think I would have ever experienced it, you know, outside of the loss of Noah, and seeing how sovereign he is and giving him that glory, you know, and that was like, wow, Lord, I've never seen you really as sovereign until this. And that was very humbling for me. And, you know, experiencing his grace and mercy in my weakness, you know, and I have a better understanding of them now than I did before losing Noah. And that's been, you know, another eye-opening thing, experiencing these things in a totally different way, you know, just having a better understanding of who God is and what he's doing. And, you know, I've always known him in the good time, you know, and losing Noah has been a bad time. And I've seen him and know him in the bad times. And he is the same God as he was in the good times. You know, he hasn't changed. And it's just, and that's a blessing to me, you know, and my eyes have been open to see how much more I need him, you know, and how my heart longs to know him more, and how I just want to be with him. And just seeing that has been the biggest thing for me is, Lord, you are still God. You are still good, even in the midst of the death of my son. And that's been amazing to be able to say. And it's still hard, but it's true, and it's good. And it's been amazing to be able to say that. You know, God has been faithful.
I can so resonate with what you're saying, because I had read the words in the Bible, black and white words, that God is sovereign and about God's grace and God's mercy. But as I hear you speaking, it wasn't really until the death of your son that those words really came alive. And you really understood at such a deeper level than ever before that God does give us grace. He is merciful to us. He is sovereign. And that's the same with me, that I knew all that in my head, but it really resonated in my heart, and I had such a deeper understanding of it when my parents were murdered. And when I got to the point that I struggled with, okay, you are sovereign, you are in control, you could have stopped, you chose not to, and it just brings such greater intimacy with the Lord when Scripture really becomes alive through our personal experience with it.
Yes, it does.
Well, the research on grief discusses how people try to find meaning through their losses. Please speak to the meaning or the purpose that you have found through loss.
For me, there have been two things that I've been able to find right now in my loss. And the first one is being able to comfort others. And that there's a Bible verse in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 that says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And that, being able to do that, I've been able to reach out to other moms who have lost their children since losing Noah, being able to share our story and share the gospel and the hope that we have in Jesus, you know, that death isn't the end for those who believe in him. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I have found in the purpose is in Romans 8:29, and it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And in the loss of Noah, the Lord has been molding me and shaping me more into his image, and that is his desire for us, who are his children, is to be shaped into his image and to be more like him. And in this, I'm seeing him do it. I'm still being molded and shaped, because I won't be complete until he comes back, but I know that is the purpose in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have enjoyed our time with you these 30 minutes. For our listeners, what practical and final thoughts or advice would you like to leave them with today that have really helped you to survive and thrive walking victoriously with the Lord?
The first is to be in God's Word and to surround yourself with fellow believers. You know, the Bible says that we need to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And putting yourself around those people allows them to do what God has called them to do in your life, and it opens up your heart, you know, to accept what they have to give you, and it just opens up that accountability between each other. And I think that's how God has designed the church to be, and that's so important. And to also to remember that we were never promised an easy life. You know, in John 15, it says that no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulations and trials and troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I had gotten caught up in. Everything was great and everything's good, and you just get caught up in life, and you get caught up in the do good things, and good things will happen to you. And then when the bad things come, you're like, oh my gosh, it opens up your eyes to, that's not what Jesus said. You know, and we will have tribulation in this world. It doesn't say you may, you will. And that was a big thing for me. Like, oh my gosh, Lord, I can't believe that I thought that ever, you know. And it was real encouragement for me to read that verse and say, he has overcome the world, though. It doesn't matter what we go through. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And those are things that I think we need to really remember and keep our hearts open and our eyes on Jesus, in knowing that we will have troubles, but he has overcome the world, and we know that he wins in the end, and he will be glorified in that. And that is what gets you through.
That actually relates so well to what I, in the time that I had with the Lord this morning for my quiet time, he took me to Psalm 23. And I'll close this in prayer, and I want to read this psalm for our listeners. What I ask that our listeners do is really put themselves in it. Don't look at it as just black and white words on a page, but personalize it for you. So when it says, "My, the Lord is my shepherd," put yourself in there. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life being. What the Lord pointed out to me was in verse 4, when David wrote this, he was aware that he would face hard times, just like Destiny shared. God did not promise us an easy life. Let us listeners know the truth that just like David, just like Destiny, we're aware that we are going to face hard times. But just like Destiny and just like David, he was aware and able to rest in the confidence that God would safely see him through the ordeal. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just as a shepherd knows his flock, God knows you, our beloved listeners, and he is walking with you. Whether you're in the darkest valley or you're on the mountaintop, he desires to walk intimately with you. He knows you. So let us enjoy grazing in his presence. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're so grateful that Destiny did get out of bed this morning to be used by you as your mouthpiece, to share the secret to living victoriously, and that is studying God's Word and speaking your Word to, first and foremost, ourselves, and then to others, to be able to comfort others the way that you have comforted us, Lord, to recognize your truth as spoken so clearly in your Word, and through our experiences with you. Lord, I pray if there are any listeners that need someone to pray for them, that they would call Stevie Ray, that they would call the station at 562-9370, 562-9370. And that, Lord, today they would remember the words that you have shared through Destiny, and they would feel your comfort, they would feel your love that we as your children get to experience. They would recognize the grace and the mercy, your faithfulness to us, that you are sovereign over all, and that like Destiny, we would recognize that this is not our home. We are just traveling through. Our home is in heaven, and for those of us like Destiny and myself who actually have people that have gone before us and are in the presence of Jesus face to face right now in heaven, we recognize that we need that eternal perspective, that we need to be heavenly minded. Let us do the work that you have called us to while we're here on earth, keeping our eyes focused on you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.